Lord. Hallelujah. Give me the Lord's house.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
All right, pray for me. I got home late, left quick, and forgot my belt and my suspenders. So I probably won't jump, shout, and run. Amen. To just try to hide behind this thing.
Sure.
Amen. And pray the Lord upholds us. Amen. Yeah. We love the Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you for all his blessings. Amen. All right. It sounds a little better to me.
Yeah.
Amen. I was thinking about this message for a little bit, and I had preached something along these lines some time ago. I couldn't find the notes nowhere, so I had to start from scratch. They're probably in that bus that's in Arkansas. And so I went through a couple old tablets of mine, different things, looking for it, couldn't find us. Amen. We want to go to 2 Samuel chapter number 23. It's familiar scriptures, even if you don't recognize the text. You'll recognize it when we start reading 2 Samuel chapter 23. We're going to read two verses of scripture from here. And I love the way God does stuff. Brother Nathaniel had no idea where I was headed or what I felt in my heart. And David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart."
Yes.
And I might not sin against God.
Yes.
And we definitely got to have the knowledge of God. Got to have His Word rooted, embedded in our lives. 2 Samuel chapter 23. I'm going to read verse 11 and 12. When I read this, you're going to say, "Brother Hunt, what is what Brother Nathaniel said and what you read and even line up?" Well, just hang on.
Yes, sir.
"And after him was Shema, the son of Agi the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory."
Amen.
We have heard this preached before. Amen. But I want to come at it probably from just a little bit different angle tonight. Amen. The Lord and help us. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we're so thankful for another opportunity to be in your house. Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, for another opportunity to preach your word. God, I pray tonight that I'll be able to deliver my heart. God, and I pray, Lord, that we'll receive it. God, and that it will be delivered the way you gave it to me. Lord, I pray, God, that you would encourage us and help us, Lord, in this place tonight. God, to walk out of this place with encouraging in our heart. And we'll thank you for it. We'll praise you for it. For, Lord, it's in your great name we do pray. The church said,
amen.
Amen. All right. You can be seated. Just don't sit on the preacher.
All right. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
We don't know much about this man, Shema. When you look up his lineage, he doesn't come from a long line of Bible heroes that we would say or anything like that. His family is not well known. We do know that he is an Israelite.
Yeah.
Because he is an Israelite, that parcel of ground was probably an inheritance that was passed down from his forefathers. The Philistines came and was going to take the harvest that Shema had worked and labored to grow. While others ran and hid themselves, Shema stood his ground and cried, "You can't have my pea patch." Tonight, I want to preach this little thought. Fighting for peace. Fighting for peace.
Yes.
The Bible says that God wrought a great victory because Shema said, "You can't have my inheritance. You can't have what has been passed down from generation to generation." I look across this congregation tonight and I see some first generation apostolics. I see some second generation apostolics. I see some third generation apostolics. And by the help and the grace of God, we will have some fourth generation apostolics coming along.
Right.
Amen. This is something that we have passed down from generation to generation. Amen. If your church ever needed some Shammas and some Nabals, it's in the day and hour that we live in, where we will not sell our birthright. We will not sell our vineyard. We will not take and give away what has been handed down to us, but we'll take it. We'll cherish it. We'll love it. We'll take it and hold dearly to it. Tonight, can I tell you, friend, we're in a day and hour where the Philistines or the world, if you would, comes and they come against us and come against our children and try to take and rip out the inheritance that God has passed down and that we have passed down. But I'm thankful that in this day and hour we live in, there are still some shamans that will stand up and say, not in my pea pack. I'm fighting for my peas. I'm fighting for the inheritance.
Yes.
Hey man, we need men who will stand and say, devil, you can't have my inheritance.
Yes.
The Bible in Jude chapter 1 verse 3, or verse 3 of the book of Jude, since Jude is only one chapter, said, beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation.
Yes.
It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. That word contend in the Greek means to strive, to struggle. Amen. To fight. I want you to fight for the faith. Amen. I don't believe that God has called us to make arguments, but I do believe that we ought to study to show ourselves approved.
Right.
The Bible says to study that you may have an answer for those who are without. Amen. Right. I believe we ought to know what we believe. I believe as the church we ought to understand why we do and do not do things. I understand. Amen. I believe we should know why we don't cut our hair in women and why we cut our hair men and why we don't do certain things and why we don't partake of certain things, and not just because of what pastor said, or that's just because they must the way they've always done it. But I believe we ought to be able to take and tell our children, yes, Acts 2:38 is the way of salvation.
Right.
And not just have them say, well, you must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You must repent of your sins, and you must, amen, receive the Holy Ghost.
Right.
It's got to go further than that. Amen.
Right.
They've got to know, amen, that it goes far beyond the surface. Amen. He said the faith that was once delivered. If it was only delivered once, then what is that faith? Ephesians 4 and 5 said, one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Right.
There's only one faith. And if there is only one faith, then we must make sure that the faith that we have is the right one.
Yeah.
Amen. There was not phase. There was not an S put on there. That was not a plural. Amen. He said it is a singular faith. It is a singular, amen, bracket of beliefs. And there's only one faith. We've got to make sure we have it right. The Bible says in Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayer. What does it mean to be apostolic? You may ask, it means we follow the apostles' doctrine.
Right.
That faith that was once delivered unto the saints.
All right.
You may ask, Brother Hunt, what are you doing tonight? I'm fighting for the pea patch.
Yes.
So it can be preserved for another generation if the Lord should tarry and delay His coming.
Yes.
That same verse in Ephesians said, there is one Lord. If there is but one Lord, then it behooves us to learn who He is.
Yes.
A physicist was giving a black and red speech to a group of students who were graduating. And in his speech he said, either there is or there is not a God. If there is no God, then Earth is hurling through space at 66,627 miles per hour. And somehow it stays perfectly aligned within its orbit. The gravitational pull upon this Earth, if it were to increase or decrease by just 1 degree, it would be catastrophic. Because if it increased just 1 degree, then the sun and everything would be pulled a little closer to Earth, and then Earth would just pretty much implode upon itself. But if it were to take and decrease just 1 degree, then the sun and different things would begin to move away from Earth, and then we would have cold and we'd have where life could not be sustainable.
Right.
But he said, if there is a God, then we must know who he is.
Right.
And we must find out what he wants from us.
Yeah.
And I tell you, friend,
yeah.
I can say assuredly, there is a God.
Right.
And there are some things that he wants from us. And there are some things that he requires of us. Tonight, God is holy. And he said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. There is a God out there. And we must know him.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Today, most people believe in God. You ask them, they say, yes, I believe there is a God.
There is a God.
Yes. Yet there are two varying views of who God is.
Yes.
If there is only one Lord, then we must know who he is.
That's right. Yes.
Many people believe in a triunity of God. I stumbled upon a guy today, I don't remember his name, it was Richard Carney or something. He was on ClassicHolinessPreaching.com or something like that. And he was talking about the Godhead. And I said, well, I'm just going to tune in. And so I began to listen. And he preached a better one this message than most people probably. And then he just messed it all up by putting it, amen, in a three-person triunity. But many people believe in a triunity of God, that God is comprised of three separate and distinct persons. Yet the Bible does not support that theory of God.
That's right.
You know there is over 9,000 singular personal pronouns about God.
Yes.
Deuteronomy 6:4 said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord."
Yes.
Isaiah 45:5, "I am the Lord and there is none else.
None
there
else.
Is no God
right.
beside
no
me. God. I girded right. thee, thou, though thou hast not known me."
Right.
But I don't have the time to go through all the scriptures. Amen. They said he is God and God alone. He is God all by himself.
Right.
But I stretched out the heavens alone.
Right.
And then the Bible said that everything was made by Christ and with him and through him.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
Can I tell you, friend, the oneness of God is from Genesis 1:1 all the way to the maps in the back of your Bible.
Right.
Amen. It's all throughout the Word of God. And I don't understand how all those years I went reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, even preached, amen, for 8 years in the Trinity Church and never come across it. But I'm so thankful that one day God opened my eyes and let me see. And when I saw the goodness of God, the Bible became alive. Oh, I found the gold and said, he alone could have upon the water. But then I found Jesus Christ walking upon the waves of the sea. And I tell you, friend, all throughout the Bible, it shows that there is one God, there is one Lord. Amen. And his name is Jesus Christ. I'm glad tonight I'm not confused about who he is. I'm glad tonight I'm not confused about what I believe. And I'm glad tonight that I know and I know and I know that my God is one and his name is one. His church is one. And show you the oneness of God.
Yes.
And I know that I'm in an apostolic oneness church. Acts 9.
Yes.
Saul was on his way to Damascus. And the Bible says a great light shone from heaven and a voice came from heaven. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?
Yes.
Saul, who was part of the Sanhedrin, he cried out, "Who art thou, Lord?" When Saul cried out, he was calling out to that God,
right.
to that Lord of Deuteronomy 6:4.
Yes,
right. Amen. He was calling out to Jehovah. He was calling out to Elohim. He was calling out, amen, to that name that they were even scared to write. They were scared to utter. He said,
right.
"Lord, who art thou?"
Who
and
art
Jesus
thou?
Said, "I am Jesus." Can I tell you, friend?
Right.
I'm
yeah.
glad I know who he is.
Right.
And I'm glad I know who the Lord is. He revealed himself to me.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. He only knew one Jehovah. And he told him his name. Amen. Aren't you thankful tonight that you know who this one God is?
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Amen. I'm not going to be long tonight. Ephesians 4:5 said also, there is one baptism.
Yes.
If there is only one baptism, we must make sure we're doing it the right way.
Yes.
Amen. Nowhere in Scripture will you find anyone being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
All baptism in the Word of God are done in the name of Jesus Christ. And I know I'm not preaching anything that you don't know. I'm not coming with a new twist or a new message or a new revelation. We understand and we know this. Amen. But you say, Brother Hunt, why are you preaching like this tonight? Why are you bringing all these things to the forefront? Because I'm fighting for the PPAC. Amen. Because the devil's trying to come and steal and kill and destroy. The devil's trying to take the PPAC away. But can I tell you, friend, I'm going to stand. I'm going to fight. I'm going to proclaim that my God is one, that His church is holy. Amen. If you're going to be part of the bride, the Bible says you must make yourself ready.
Yes.
Amen. What does that mean? Uh-oh. You must make yourself ready.
Right.
That means we got some responsibilities in this.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. I'm fighting for the peace.
Yes.
Amen. Some years ago, we went to a church in Oklahoma. Probably one of the strangest church services I've ever been in my life. We walked in. There's a microphone sitting in the middle of the church on a little stand facing the audience. They started church. I mean, I guess. Everybody's just kind of sitting there. About this time, this lady gets up and walks over to that microphone that's standing there. And she started singing a song, and musicians just chimed in and kind of helped her out. And then when she got done, she went and sat down. And silence again. Then somebody else would get up. And they'd either come from the choir loft and come to the pulpit and grab the mic and sing a song or testify or something like that. And since I was a neighboring pastor, our church is literally, the church I pastored was here. There was a plumbing company here, and then that church was here. And so since I was a neighboring pastor, they knew who I was and invited me to the platform. And I'm sitting there, and one of the young men that I knew that went to that church, he said, "If you feel like saying something, just go on up." And I said, "I am not inviting myself to somebody's pulpit." About that time, the pastor got up and he said, "Oh, it's so good to have Brother Hunt and the people from Apostolic Tabernacle. We want him to come and greet the congregation." He said, "I heard y'all sing. I want y'all to sing." And we sung, and man, I tried to testify, but it was dry as cracker juice. And I was like, "My goodness. We just ain't getting nowhere." And then the guy, the pastor got up, and he was talking about making steps toward Jesus. And he said, Acts 2:38, you got to repent. You got to be baptized in Jesus' name. You got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He says, that's three steps right there. Well, the young man that I knew that went to that church and got married into the family, he told me, he said, after church, he said, "That's the first time I've heard him say anything about Acts 2:38 in at least 3 or 4 years." But I understood the history of that church because I knew some folks that had lived in that town a while, and they said Grandpa, when he started that church, it was a good apostolic church. It had a good foundation. But just 2 or 3 generations removed, there was no resemblance of a move of God. There was no resemblance of, hey man, an apostolic church, and they had a dress code, but it was not very high. They had some standards, but they were very loose. And,
right.
and God burned my heart. And then after that, for the next few weeks and a few services there, every service I sat down and I taught the people. I went through the foundational doctrines of our release system. And then I went through why we repent. I went through why we're baptized in Jesus' name. I went through why we believe in the filling of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And it is evident by speaking in other tongues.
Right.
I went through the whole process of why we live holiness. And I went through the whole process of why we must be separate. Because I did not want the devil to come in, amen, and take the peace out of the peace path. Amen. I didn't want the devil to come in, amen, and destroy my God and be proud of me. Let me go to Oklahoma. Can I tell you, friend, each and every one of us have a personal peace path tonight. And it behooves us. And it is our responsibility to fight. Amen. God has given each and every one of us an inheritance. Amen. We have children that are coming up behind us.
Yes.
That we must protect the pea patch for them. Amen. We must take and preserve this way of life.
Right.
Amen. The Bible said to seek out the old paths.
Yes.
Amen. Too many people have found a new way of living and forsaken the old way of the cross. Amen. Somebody once said it's easier to wear a cross than it is to bear a cross.
Yes.
Amen. But I want to carry the old rugged cross. I know people shame it and they despise it and they say, you don't have to live that way. But can I tell you, friend, I still believe it takes a holy, sanctified, separated life unto God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I still believe in the old time way.
Yes.
Amen. I've seen way too much. My dad said this, and I took it as an indictment. I didn't take it as a rebuke, even though it could have been. But I was talking to him one night about, you know, the oneness of God and being baptized in Jesus' name and all these things. And he told me, he said, son, I understand why you believe what you believe, and I can see where you draw your conclusions from the Word of God. He said, but the apostolic church is worldly. And if I believe, he said, I believe if I were to go to the apostolic church, then I would be compromising, because he saw some of the things that some churches have allowed to come in.
Yes.
But I'm glad tonight we have a church at 1212 West Reynolds that still holds the standard. And I'm glad we have a church tonight that still proclaims holiness unto the Lord. And I'm glad we still have a church that will stand and say, why am I being passed, devil? I'm fighting for the peace. You're not going to come in and destroy what God has built in this place. Amen. Not in my pea patch. Oh, no. Amen. I'm not going to let the enemy come in and destroy what God has started to build in my life.
Yes.
Amen. The Bible says if a man does not provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. Amen. That doesn't mean just go out there and work your job and provide for your family. That means you provide safety. You take and you provide direction.
Yes.
You take and you provide, amen, the things they need to get them a little further down the road. And you must protect your pea patch.
Yes, amen. Yes, yes.
Amen. Deuteronomy 6:4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.
One Lord.
He said you must teach them when they rise up, when they lay down, when they're walking in the way. Amen. It's to be engraved in them. They asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment of them all? And he said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.
One Lord, yes.
Amen. Why did he say this, that, and the other? Because Jesus understood if you get that one right, then all the rest will fall in line.
Right.
Amen. If you can get it understood in your heart and mind that hero is or the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. If you can get it settled in your heart and mind that there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Amen. You can take and live the rest of the law or the Ten Commandments, if you will.
Right. Yes.
Amen. I'm not going to let the devil come in
and
disrupt my pea patch.
Yes.
Right.
Amen.
That's it. I'm done. Short and sweet and to the point. Amen.
Thank
we can all stand.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
That's what happens when you work 60 hours a week and don't get no supper before church.
Thank you, Lord.
We're going to make Brother Hunter preach every Wednesday night with no food. Like I said earlier, I believe that God wants us to go out
and
pick battles.
Right.
I've enjoyed watching